Welcome into another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and this is a Free Basketball solo pod this week. Daniel had a Halloween party, so he got the night off, and Cody had to work late, but we are, of course, part of the Lead Sports Media podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe so you can hear every show that comes out throughout the week. Hooper's Log is usually right after us on Tuesdays. The Lowdown, High Off the Glass, New Channel Sports, Leading with the W, all podcasts doing all great things. So make sure you subscribe, like, share, help us build this thing so we can continue to get better and better. But today, what I am going to do individually here is just kind of give a little snapshot of how I feel about some teams. I'm not going to go super in depth on this one. This might be a shorter podcast than even before, because you were used to the team preview series where everything was an hour plus. And last week's episode, if you listened to it, thank you if you did. That was a very prompt 35 minutes. So hopefully this won't be too short, but hopefully it will help you kind of get a little snapshot, at least from the way I see it, on how this NBA season has started. Most teams have played 6 to 7 games. And of course, we have had some surprises. We have some teams that are at the bottom of the barrel that we did not expect to be there. But we will talk about them all kind of quickly, individually, maybe some longer than others. But these are just kind of things that I've observed. I haven't been able to watch every single team play. You should see my DVR, though, with all the games that are backlogged in there that I need to get to. I have like 3 or 4 days of NBA regular season games viewing to get to. But still, I have still watched a ton of games. So here's kind of the things that have stuck out to me so far through this NBA season. And so I'm going to start out with teams that I've been surprised that I actually like so far. And that's the Kings, who are 3-3, and the New York Knicks at 5-1. I know the Kings, the record's not going to be gaudy or anything, but I've been super interested by their team. I've been outspoken about their head coach, not a huge fan, but I just like De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, you know, Rashawn Holmes, Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, Tyrese Halliburton. They're just a super interesting team to me that I think before I was a little skeptical before the season on if they really had a chance to make the playoffs, but it kind of seems like they're going to be a team that's going to be fighting for that 9-10. So they've been fun to me so far. The others, New York Knicks, starting out 5-1. They've had some close calls, but they are a lot of fun, to say the least, to start adding Kemba, Evan Fournier, getting Mitchell Robinson back. I mean, they've just kind of kept this thing going with Julius Randle with even more usage than he was last year. So they've been fun to me. The teams that I'm not freaking out about yet are the Brooklyn Nets, Atlanta Hawks, Phoenix Suns, Portland Trail Blazers, Los Angeles Clippers. Now, these are going to be a little lengthier because I'm going to talk a little bit about their upcoming schedules for these teams. But the Nets, it's not like the Nets are starting too poorly. I mean, they're 4-3 to start. Last year, they started 3-4. But it's just so obvious with the way they started. They've had a couple games where the only two double-digit scorers were Kevin Durant and James Harden. And even then, it was Kevin Durant going for 35-40 and James Harden going for 15. So recently, we've seen Harden kind of round to form. I believe he had his first triple-double of the season tonight. But the next 10 games, like this is why I'm not worried about these teams, because I think we know that we all like these teams. We think these are going to be good NBA teams this year during the regular season. And then projecting out how they might look in the next 8 to 10 games or so, maybe we can put the pause on the panic button, or we can actually start to think, okay, maybe there is something here that's going to be a season-long problem for these teams. The next 10 for the Brooklyn Nets, though: Atlanta Hawks, Detroit Pistons, the Raptors, the Bulls, the Magic, the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Warriors, the Cavs, and the Magic again. So, yes, they start out 4-3 and haven't looked great, but these next 10 for them are kind of a get-right 10. So, after these next 10, I think we're going to be looking at a team that's possibly 12-5 and being like, okay, everything's okay, they're on a roll, the Brooklyn Nets are going to be fine. The Atlanta Hawks, starting out 3-3, has kind of been a weird start. I thought they would be a much deeper team, but they have been so to start. John Collins has been awesome for the most part. DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish doing things. Don't think I didn't notice when Trae Young recently complained about not getting foul calls anymore. The rule change seems to be working so far. But the next couple games for the Hawks: the Wizards, the Brooklyn Nets, the Utah Jazz, the Phoenix Suns, the Golden State Warriors, the Jazz again, the Nuggets, and the Bucks. This is the team I'm looking for after this murderous stretch coming up. This is the team that I'm going to start seeing maybe some alarm bells if they struggle through these next 7 or 8 games. And this might be, like, is this what the Hawks are this season? They were a fun story last year. Change a head coach. They go off. They make the Eastern Conference Finals. This might be kind of a panic mode if they, at least in the media. We all know how it works. If the Hawks start out 6-12, the media can't help themselves, and everyone say maybe last year was a fluke. The Suns, 2-3. We forget last year that this team in the first 20 games last year started out 11-9. So it's not like they were a hot team to start. Now, in their first couple games, they were like 4-5-1. But then they had that run of losing, and they were 11-9 after 20 games. But this is kind of a get-right slate for them. Their next couple games is the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Hawks, the Kings, the Blazers, the Grizz, and the Rockets. So this is a team that we're not worried about right now. If they go 500 in this next slate, maybe that's something we can indicate for the future. The Blazers are another team, 3-3. Their next slate, 76ers, Cavaliers, Pacers, Lakers, Suns, Rockets, Nuggets. I mean, that's kind of a mix of good and bad teams. And if they continue to go 500, maybe we start have to looking at something here. I know everybody has been saying for a couple years, it's time to split up Dame and CJ. New head coach with Chauncey Billups, they're trying to implement things and actually play defense. They've got to start getting on a run here. I know it is early in the season. This is why we're having this talk now, to kind of put it into your mind as we get further into season to revisit this list. But another team that I said that I'm not freaking out about, surprisingly, is the Los Angeles Clippers, starting out 1-4. Their next couple games, Oklahoma City Thunder. They play the Minnesota Timberwolves 3 times. They play the Hornets, the Blazers, the Heat, and the Bulls. So, we talked about in our previews, if you listen to them, is this going to be a 3-point regression year for the Clippers? I know Eric Bledsoe is not Kawhi Leonard, and they've had some close games. But is this just going to be kind of a throw-in-the-towel kind of season if they happen to start, you know, 3-12? Is this going to be a kind of, let's not injure Paul George, let's not take that risk, let's kind of mothball him, and let's get ready for next year when Kawhi's back healthy? Something to look out for, but I'm not freaking out about it, because they could go on a run here, get on a hot streak three-point shooting-wise, and run the table on some of these games. So that's a group of teams that I'm not freaking out about yet. The yet is a big the big word in that sentence. So let's see after these next couple games for these teams, and then we'll revisit this. Now this group, these two teams right here, I just think they've been unlucky to start the season. Not to say that I like their team or they're very good. But the Indiana Pacers, starting out 1-6, it's just unlucky that they're 1-6. I mean, their first game of the year, they lost to the Hornets 122-123. Then they lost to the Wizards 134-135. And then they've had losses to the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Nets. And they played the Raptors twice. And in the second game of that, they lost to the Raptors by 3. So, new head coach Rick Carlisle, it's going to take some time to implement the stuff that he wants to do. And they've just had an unfortunate start to their season. Because if you just flip, you know, those two close games, which are back and forth either games, or those three games, I mean, this is at least a 3-4 team, if not 4-3. So I don't think it's fair to say that they're terrible. I just think they've been unlucky. And the other team like that is the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're 2-4. They've played I don't know how many double overtime games already. It feels like three or four, but they lost to the Knicks 134-138, lost to the Wizards on a back-to-back, 116-107 first game, and then a double overtime game, which was 115-112. So this is a team that has a brand new head coach as well, new players they have to implement with Schroeder, with Marcus Smart, who I believe was injured and out for the last game. And they just had some close calls where they've been unlucky. They've been right there. They just have not been able to finish. Jaylen Brown started out super hot. Now he's kind of regressing back to the mean. Jason Tatum, not going to the basket, settling for the shots, the perimeter one-on-one ISO shots, like we've all complained about for his entire career. I'm not in love with these teams, but I do think it should be pointed out that they've been very unlucky to start the season. But on the vice versa of that, teams that had hot starts, Wizards are 5-1. Just talked about the close games that they've been in. The Warriors are 5-1. The Bulls are 5-1. They're still a team I'm not sure about. Last week gave best bet Raptors were going to actually beat them money line. And they came close. I believe they only lost by three. It was a close game. Just fell apart at the end. They're 5-1. I mean, they have two wins over the Pistons. They've beaten the Pelicans. They beat the Raptors. And they did beat the Jazz. But they lost to the Knicks by one. So this could be a 6-0 team. I'm just still not sure about this team once they get into a much tougher schedule, if they're for real or not. But they have had a hot start, and they've been a lot of fun. So it's a great story to start the season. Other teams with hot start, Miami Heat 5-1. They've looked professional, blowing every one of their wins, I believe, was a double-digit win. And the Jazz 5-1. So those are teams that have had hot starts. Look, I don't know if these will be the top, probably not the top five teams in the NBA this year, but they have had a good start to the season that can't be ignored. And some of these teams are really fun. Like, I really enjoy the Wizards. I really enjoy the Warriors. The Heat are veteran savvy, a lot of fun. Tyler Hero comeback season. Utah Jazz, steady, consistent. I mean, Rudy Gobert is like second or third in MVP season lookout voting so far. So, like, Gobert being considered an MVP candidate, maybe most of these hot start teams, it's kind of a wait and see for me. Talking about wait and see, this is the biggest group of teams that, look, they're kind of ho-hum to start the year. No one that's really dominating, but also not playing too poorly. So kind of a group that I think we'll be watching to see who breaks apart and starts to separate themselves from this pack anyways. But I have the Bucks 3-4, start with a little injuries. Nuggets 4-2, Mavericks 4-2, Timberwolves 3-2, Lakers 4-3. They beat the Rockets tonight. The Grizz 3-3. Have a lot of questions about that defense and the consistency. The Cavaliers 3-4, who have been kind of interesting with their jumbo lineup. I didn't think it would work at all, but they have been surprisingly competitive in games. The Raptors are 4-3, which is kind of a surprise, but I think a lot of us who followed the NBA was really a big fan of their team. It was basically long arms, try to score on us. Hopefully we can shoot as well. And Fred VanVleet is having a good start to the season. And I still think they're without Pascal Siakam, if I'm correct. I may be wrong about that, but they get him back. Look out. The 76ers are 4-2. We know about the whole Ben Simmons saga. Doesn't look like he's going to be there. So these are teams that are wait and see. Not super in depth on these. I think a lot of these we project to be really good teams. The Lakers have been, I would say, disappointing to start for most people. If you're a fan of the NBA, they've had games where they've been up by 20 and they've lost the lead, let teams back in it, and come back and beat them. And then they've had games where they've been behind and made it close. And so the question obviously is still the fit and the health, of course. The Grizzlies, I said, of course, was the defense, the consistency. The Nuggets, it's Jokic. I'm just going to go ahead and put this in people's minds. Jokic is not going to win back-to-back MVP, but I would not be surprised if he has a better season than last year, which should put him in the top of the running to win MVP. And he's not going to be a sexy pick. No one wanted him last year. Everyone's saying he won last year just because of injuries to everyone else, namely Joel Embiid and LeBron James. So there's no way he's going to win this year. But I would not be surprised if he has an even better year this year, which should put him clearly at the front of the line for MVP race this year. That's all I'm going to say. The Mavericks, I'm still kind of confused what we're doing here. I get they're trying to do stuff with Luka off ball. They're trying to do this old school, let's just take matchups, take them in the post kind of thing. And it's Luka Doncic, so whatever challenge you're going to give to him where it's just, hey, post up and do your thing and find the open guy, like he's going to do, and he's going to figure it out no matter what stupid plan Jason Kidd tries to put him in on offense. Like, he's just that good. But it may come to a point if they're treading water and not really distancing themselves where Luka's just like, okay, screw this, all this fun, you know, move me off the ball, let's, you know, watch me move without the ball, and I'm just going to dominate the ball again, and you guys just kind of read off me. So that's what we're kind of waiting and seeing with the Mavericks, to see how they kind of respond to that. And obviously Kristaps Porzingis, waiting guy, but is he kind of that guy that we're always waiting? Kind of feels like he is at this point, like we're always going to be waiting for you to do something, and he's just never going to do it. Porzingis could be another massive failure this year. And so that's why we're waiting and seeing. The Timberwolves, terrible in half-court offense. They literally cannot do anything in half-court offense, but they are ridiculously fun in open court. And Karl Anthony Towns, I have not seen him play with this kind of determination to start the season. And that may not be fair. Not a huge Timberwolves guy, per se. He may have had other starts to seasons where he started off really, really strong and really competitive, and it just fell off where he had an injury. And we know the rough past couple of years that he has had, but he looks super focused. He looks like he wants to prove a point. Anthony Edwards coming along. D'Angelo Russell up and down. But when all three are going, it's a lot of fun. Let's kind of hope that keeps going. Let's wait and see if they're going to be kind of for real or always a 500, always fighting for that level once we get to the middle of the season. So the Bucks obviously being 3-4, wait and see is probably not a good category for me to put them in, because they are going to be really good, but they've just had the injuries that have started them 3-4. So they kind of have to be put here for now, but I would expect them when they get the guys back to be immediately get going, hot start, make an 8-10 game winning streak run soon, because this is a team that does not want to sit around 500. They want to be at the top of the East. They know how precious that seeding is for them, for the home court. And I still would not, I would not expect anything less than the 3 seed from the Bucks, even with the kind of seesaw start that we've seen to them for the season start anyways, with all the injuries. These are teams probably we should have known that it would have been bad. Now, I'm a big NBA draft guy. I'm in a group with the league guys who are big draft guys. And this is why we're draft guys, because we're super optimistic about everything. We can see the bright side of everything and get excited about something, even if it's not really there. So that's kind of our personal faults as draft, is that we get excited about things maybe too soon. But that's why I like being a draft guy and in that draft group, because the constant optimism is great. But these are teams that we should have known that they were going to suck. And let's be realistic about it. Like the Detroit Pistons, they're 1-5. There's no hope. Cade Cunningham, I know he's injured. Probably not going to play back-to-back to start. Had a terrible first open game. But that's okay. He's a number one pick. Let him get back in the groove. He'll be fine. I am interested by what they're going to do with him and Killian Hayes, though, because to me, long-term, that just doesn't make sense. It has just never worked out to have two guys who want to have the ball in their hands, one of them just accepting to play off ball. It's just a waste of their talent. So kind of interested what's going to go on there. Not saying that they aren't an interesting team. I think everybody in the NBA is interesting in some sort of aspect, but we should have known they were going to be bad. And now we see that they're going to be awful. Another team that's going to be awful, the Orlando Magic, starting out also 1-5. They're just going to be horrible. Jalen Suggs looks to be a little too much for him right now. Franz Wagner has had moments already where he looks super versatile and way better than Mo, that's for sure. But they're just, what's going on with Cole Anthony? Like, Cole Anthony Does he believe it's his team? I don't know. Like, I'm just not going to put a lot of stock into a guy who's putting up numbers on a trash team. He's just not that guy to me, and I'm sorry. I get the optimism. It's coming from a draft guy, second-year player, but I just don't see it for Cole Anthony to where he's a good player on a decent team. I just don't see it. I just see bad numbers on a bad team for his career. The Oklahoma City Thunder last week, if you listened to our episode, Fan or Fade, I was fading the Oklahoma City Thunder already. 1-5 to start the season. I really, really thought this team was going to be better than what they have started. Now, it may turn around trying to incorporate all the pieces. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may get going, but it just has not looked great at all to start. Some bright spots with Josh Giddey, of course. He has looked really good at points where you can see a really interesting backcourt duo of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Giddey long term. The problem is, what's really the end goal? I'm bummed about it because I really thought this team was going to improve their record the most this year, which isn't saying much. And there's still a lot of basketball to be played this season, so I guess I'm just disappointed so far in what they have done. But the Pelicans are 1-6 to start, talking about another disappointing team. I don't know what to think about this team. Their Vegas season win total was 39.5. Is it all because of not having Zion? Is that why they are completely inept? I mean, I don't think so. I think they're just inept as a team. I mean, who gave Nickeil Alexander-Walker the go on his green light to shoot anything he sees? There's no telling when or if Zion comes back, what in the world he is going to look like physically. And is it going to make sense with JV? And the problem, obviously, Brandon Ingram is just not that guy. Like, you can put him on whatever team you want. I just don't think he's a winning player. And he's talented, but I just don't think he's a winner. And Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a good story, but ultimately, he's not a starter in the NBA, I don't think. And Devontae Graham is a good story at Charlotte Hornets. He's probably not a starter in the NBA. They did steal my favorite draft pick in Trey Murphy III, so I'll never get over it. And this is probably why I'm more down on them than maybe others. But you're 1-6. Just be better. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. The Rockets, 1-4. Probably after tonight against the Lakers, unless the Lakers give up another huge 20-point lead, will be 1-5. And Jalen Green's had a rough start. Kevin Porter Jr. Christian Wood still doing his thing. I know everybody, and even I was excited about the Kevin Porter Jr. Jalen Green thing, but I just don't think it works together on the court. And I'm not sure if it ever will. So it might be fun for a season or two while, you know, Jalen Green's trying to get used to being in the NBA and being an NBA player. But I think there is a potential in the future for them needing to get rid of Kevin Porter Jr. because he's kind of standing in the way of Jalen Green. Now, I'm sure people argue against me that positionally they're different. But if you're going to be all in on Jalen Green, I think you need to give all the shots to Jalen Green. Maybe that's a bad way to look at it. But Kevin Porter Jr. just kind of feels like he's standing in the way. Like, it kind of feels like that same situation. Now, I don't know, completely different situation, scenario, even players. But when the Lakers had D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, like, it's just like one was in the way of the other, and probably a bad example because ended up both players were gone. But I don't think the Rockets are going to get a trade for LeBron James anytime soon. So I could be wrong, but we'll see. And this is a team that will probably be a surprise that they're in this group because they have been kind of frisky to start. They're 2-4. That's the San Antonio Spurs. So maybe it's not fair that we should have known this would have been bad. But their wins were against the Magic, who we've already touched on, are horrible, and the Bucks, who are severely injured. They've lost close games. They've been in it. But they've lost to the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Mavs. So you shouldn't be upset at those four losses. And maybe by the end of the season, they'll be a kind of a frisky 32-34 win team. But it just feels high for me because all you need is one injury to one of their guys, like Derek White, who seems to be habitually injured now the past couple seasons. And everything kind of falls apart. Like, I've really enjoyed the start of the season for Deontay Murray. Kelvin Johnson has been a lot of fun. I mean, Jakob Poeltl has looked like a max player. Even Doug McDermott is doing things for this team. But this is a team that, even through a previous episode where we did a thought exercise on losing your star players, like, what happens to the Spurs if Deontay Murray gets injured for, you know, he's out a month? Like, what's going to happen to this team? Are they really going to hold serve? No. So this is a team that is plucky and fun to start, even though their record's 2-4 and they have wins over Magic and Hurt Bucks. But their four losses aren't bad. They're against good teams. And so they're just one injury away from having a terrible season. So maybe it's not, we knew this would be bad. Maybe we know that it will eventually be bad, to be fair. And for our last team, this is a team I'm absolutely delighted by their results so far from the preseason hype that we gave on ourselves from them. Cody was a huge fan of them and got me hyped about them. Daniel was a big fan of them, got me hyped about them. And that's the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, I talked about earlier how they're lucky in some of these games, but they're 5-2 and they've just been a pure delight playing this small ball basketball where they kind of don't seem interested all the time, especially LaMelo. And you'll have random games like Miles Bridges is playing out of his mind to start the season. FYI, people, he's in a contract year, okay? So let's kind of pump the brakes a little bit. Like, this is the new Miles Bridges that we're going to see for the rest of his career. It's not. He's trying to get paid. We see this every time. It's the same thing with everybody who's a big fan of Mo Bamba right now. He's trying to get paid, okay? So, he's been a lot of fun, Mo Bamba, but he's trying to get more money. So he's actually trying. So the same with Miles Bridges. Is this an indicator of what the rest of his career is going to be? No, he's not the next Vince Carter. Sorry. But they have been a lot of fun. LaMelo, Gordon Hayward, if he can stay healthy. Terry Rozier chucking him up. It's just been a lot of fun. So I've really enjoyed that they have been as delightful to watch as we all thought they would have been, even though they have games where they just, it does not look like Lonzo wants to be there at all. They're still fun. So that's just a quick look at kind of the start of the season, you know, 5 or 6 games in for most teams. Not going super in depth, but just to kind of touch on them, just to kind of give a general feel of where I see teams at right now. So thanks for tuning into this. Of course, I have to give a best bet. And this is going to be a bet that's fading the team that I'm super delighted about. So tonight, I'm doing this Sunday night, Halloween night. The Cavs are +4 against the Charlotte Hornets. I'm fading the Charlotte Hornets here. Hornets are on a back-to-back. They just played the Trailblazers today. Beat them by double digits. They have already played the Cleveland Cavaliers once already this season. I believe it was the second game of the season for the Hornets. And they beat the Cavs 123-112. So you're saying to me, okay, they already beat the Cavs on the road by 11. Why in the world are you taking the Cavs +4 at home against Charlotte? Couple things. Halftime score of the first meeting, Cavs won it 59-54. So they outscored the Cavs total 16 points in the second half. The Hornets shot 40.6% from three. The Cavs shot 29% from three. Other little tidbit. The Hornets, in only one game this season so far, have led at half. They've been losing by anywhere from 5 to 10 points in every game this season at half, except the Magic game where they were up, I believe, by 2 at half. In all of those games, they had a huge third and fourth quarter, double-digit outscoring, where they actually tried, it seems like. This is why they're kind of fun, right? Because they're kind of cruising. Things aren't working. Boriego makes some adjustments. They come out third quarter, and they kick your teeth in. But I'm just counting on the Cavs wanting to have a little bit of a revenge game. Because they were winning by 5 at half. Felt like they should have won that game. It's a back-to-back for the Hornets. Here's the bad spot potential. The Cavaliers, this is their last game of a fine game road trip. So, they're 2-2 in that road trip. I think J.B. Bickerstaff is telling them, look, had a huge road run. Let's finish it on a high note before we go home. Let's end this road trip 3-2. And let's get some revenge on this Hornets that we were beating by at half and should have won. Let's go into their place now and let's beat them. So that is the mentality I think they're going into there with. This is the bad spot potential, though, is that it is their last game of a five-game road trip. Potentially could get blown out again? Absolutely. But maybe you can hedge out of this after the first half. The Hornets are winning at half? Probably going to win. Unless they have that finally have a regression game where they're winning at half and they lose a game instead of losing at half and win the game. So we'll see. That's my best bet for tomorrow. Cavs +4 at the Hornets. And also, probably the better bet is to just take the Cavs first half, whatever that line would be. If it's +4 for the game, I would assume the first half line is 1.5 to 2.5. So maybe that should have been the best bet as well. How about we'll do it as a two-part? Cavs for the full game +4 and whatever that half. Cavs will win the first half, whatever that is, probably +120 to +140. So that will wrap us up for this week's episode of Free Basketball. Thank you for tuning in. Like we said at the beginning, like and subscribe, follow the Lead Sports Media podcast, share and tell everyone that you know. Just one person a day will help us grow this thing, and we appreciate everything you do for us. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the games this week.